the competition kind of sucks, as you point out. You know, like, it's expensive and the food is usually not that good. The service usually sucks. So having a very convenient and consistent experience from us, so we get a lot of loyal customers who get to be big fans of us because they know it's good, consistent food.
Budget overruns, brick devices, data breaches. Building connected products is hard. Welcome to Over the Air. Sharp, unfiltered conversations with executives about their IoT journeys, the mistakes they made, the lessons they learned, and what they wish they'd known when they started. I'm your host, Ryan Prosser. Welcome back to Over the Air, IoT, connected devices, and the journey. My name is Ryan Prosser, CEO of Veri. And today we're joined by Arnie Sope, VP of Technology at Farmers Fridge. We're going to be talking about the future of vending machines and also diving into kind of a passion subject of mine, airports. I love to pick on airports. The future of fresh dining, well, dining generally at airports. Arnie, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Farmers Fridge, tell us a little bit. A lot of people may not know you guys yet, but talk a little bit about Farmers Fridge.
Our CEO was a traveling salesman. And we used to be on the road a lot. And he used to think, like, wouldn't it be great if I could get like fresh, healthy food as easy as I can get a candy bar? So he literally started a business with two vending machines and started making salads in his house and taking them every day and stocking these vending machines. And that's where we started. And that's pretty much what we still do today. But, you know, the scale is like vastly, vastly greater. But fresh, healthy food available in vending machines that you can get as easy as you could get a bag of chips out of a vending machine.
So you guys are Chicago-based. We had another Chicago-based kind of food meets technology company on the show a few episodes back. Totally different industry than you guys. But one of the things we unpacked over the course of the episode is, you know, there's a lot of discrete, challenging in their own right areas of a business like this. You know, you've got to source the food. You've got to, you know, there's a food safety component, whatever. How should we be thinking about the Farmers Fridge business from a technology standpoint? What are the discrete areas where you guys have had to, you know, say, okay, listen, here's, I don't know, I'll say logistics or whatever, let's use technology to drive that forward. Do you guys think about it in that way?
We do. I mean, we impact every part of our business. I mean, you have the essentially four areas, right? I mean, we have to produce the food, we have to distribute the food. You've got your sales and your marketing and your merchandising areas where, you know, the make the food appeal to people and find our sales. And then we've got the actual vending machine itself, right? Where we have to track the inventory, make sure the temperature stays and meet all the regulatory needs and everything. And all of those things play together. Data comes from all of those areas, comes together to make every part of our business more efficient or generate us more sales, right? So it's a holistic piece. We are not a tech company. We're a food company. But we really need tech to make this work.
So you guys think of yourself as a food company that's using technology to solve these problems, not the other way around, not a tech company solving food problems.
Correct. I mean, you know, it's we can have the greatest tech out there, but if the food isn't purchased and the food doesn't taste good, and if it isn't, you know, all of the things that somebody would expect from it, tech isn't, you know, going to solve that problem, right? So, but we have to make sure that the all of those things necessary for somebody to see the food, be attracted to it, to want to purchase that food, that the tech supports all of those things and finds the right people to make those purchases.
Which of those four areas would you say has proven the most technically difficult? I know people with your background, technically difficult also can mean like most interesting, you know, because it's like the heaviest lift, the biggest challenges. What's proven the most interesting, you know, to solve technically?
I love all the areas. I mean, they're all challenging. But, you know, let's see, we're an IoT program, and the vending machine, as we like to call it, we call it a fridge because we're Farmers Fridge. So we nickname them. But, you know, that's still the heart of our business. And, you know, it is impressive how from people long before me were here to take this vending machine, customize it, write all the software so that we can actually safely sell fresh food in vending machines across the country.
I think, you know, we have a lot of folks on this show that make a product that maybe a lot of the audience has never engaged with before. We had a gentleman a couple episodes back talking about, you know, tech for sewer systems. And, you know, I don't know, most people go their whole life and never see the inside of a sewer or know anything about how it works. Sandwiches this is something I think everyone can kind of relate to. And we all have, I think, common goals here too. We'd like them to be fresh and healthy and reasonably priced and taste good, be available easily when we, you know, so you guys are solving a problem I think most people can relate to. It seems to me, you know, I said at the top of the episode, we'd be picking on airports a little bit today. Anybody right. that travels, it has a special place in their, I don't know what the opposite of a heart is, a little bit, a healthy amount of disdain for airports. But it does feel like there's some green shoots. You know, I was mentioning to you earlier, Houston Airport, I think New Jersey too, they seem to be experimenting with like serverless. By serverless, I mean people, the waiters and waitstaff and so forth. And so there's iPads, tablets everywhere. And I think the execution is terrible, but I love this attempt to infuse technology so that people can just sit where they want to sit. The food finds them instead of them finding food. You guys seem to be geared for an audience that is on the move, trying to go, they need to grab something. Let's back up. Airports feel like they're probably a big part of your business. Is that something you guys think about a lot?
They are. I mean, you know, there's a limited number of airports in the United States, but every time we enter an airport, there's a lot of foot traffic and the competition kind of sucks. It's too funny, you know, like it's expensive and the food is usually not that good. The service usually sucks. So having a very convenient and consistent experience from us, you know, like that you can get this food, it's good, it's consistent. And so we get a lot of loyal customers at airports, which sounds ironic. You'd assume that it would be just people that have see it and buy one time. But we got a lot of the people that work at the airports. We get the flight attendants, the pilots, and regular, you know, business travelers who get to be big fans of us because they know it's good, consistent food. So it's a good portion of our business. And they're generally very successful locations for us because we generate a lot of revenue. So they're profitable for us as well.
It seems to me, outside looking in, that the smart vending machine, the fresh food vending machine, is the future of airport dining. It just seems like the trend line. I mean, just follow this trend line. It's impossible to get people through security, even qualified people like airline staff, you know, are caught up in these choke points. Maybe it's marginally better, but it's still really bad. I got to imagine if you're operating a restaurant inside a airport, you know, just the hiring, retaining people, getting them badged, you know, this feels like a giant friction point. And you guys still need people to get through security, I believe, because you've got to get, you know, there isn't like a handoff to somebody on the other side. Is it a more frictionless experience for the vending machine business than the restaurant business? Or what are some of the challenges that might surprise people?
I guess it's probably a little easier for us, right? Because we don't have as many employees and things. I mean, everybody has to be security badged. Everybody has to go through a background check. So we can service those fridges with a driver, right? We'll stock them, brings food and stocks them overnight, right? So we probably need about two people per airport to be badged. So you have somebody who can get in and they're back up, right? In case they take a day off or something, right?
This episode is brought to you by Varied, the worldwide leaders in IoT technology development. Do you have a commercial or industrial IoT project? IoT is a journey. Start yours at varytechnology.com.
So it's about two people, but that can take a considerable amount of time. Also, you're going to get the Department of Health involved because airports are very public places. The Department of Health focuses very much on airports. You've got the Department of Transportation, who we're going to get involved because like the Port Authority in New York runs the airports. So you've got to get through the Port Authority. So you've got those. You've got also people who check out your electrical, make sure that, you know, your electrical is safe. Again, airports are very prominent places. So, you know, all of those things have to happen before you can even just plug into your vending machine. At an airport, you know, like I'm guessing a restaurant is going to go through like five times as many checks as we would. And you've got to have a heck of a lot more employees. So that's just, they're profitable, but it's very hard to run a restaurant, I imagine.
Yeah, you're going through government agencies. You left off Homeland Security, which sits over the whole thing to ensure that nothing runs efficiently. But it does feel like vending is the future of the airport. And the airport is, for at least, I don't know, at least one more generation, it is the hub of how people get around. So is that you guys' worldview as well?
I think so. I mean, I think you're going to find, as you were talking about with the tablets, I think you will find even restaurants are going to have fewer employees, because if you can cut down on the number of employees and you don't have to worry about employee shortages and getting everybody badged and all of these expenses and time, you can run a restaurant cheaper and you can get it, you know, keep it staffed and moving forward. So I think, you know, there'll be more automated like vending machines like us, right? And you'll see, I think restaurants will become much more automated as well, so they can reduce their staff and continue to service people and maybe even lower their costs, but I wouldn't promise that one.
Yeah, you know, we should have a portion of the show called Ryan Rants about things being worse than they used to be. But one of the tailwinds that I see for your business, an unexpected, maybe not huge tailwind, it seems that people are fed up with tipping on everything, you know, and also some of the tip options are hilarious. I was in a taxi the other day. I had three options, 20%, 30%, 40% were the buttons, you know, for my tip. And I'm like, when did it come to this? When was 30% the median tip option for? And so when you go to Starbucks, which I imagine is probably just across the hall from a lot of your vending machines, you got you guys on one side, Starbucks on the other side, your sandwiches are better. But also you talked on the upfront about like delivering a high quality, but also consistent experience. And I think people are really getting fed up with having to tip on absolutely everything and really not knowing what's an appropriate tip. When you go deal with one of your machines, $8 means $8. You know, the robot isn't like looking at you sideways and saying, hey, 8 plus 20% for my robot kids at home. Is that something that you guys hear from customers that they're saying, I love the, not only the frictionless, but also that like, I know from a cost perspective, $8 means $8.
Yeah, I haven't heard it so much on the tipping side, but I know I'm frustrated with myself. And they gamify that with you too sometimes, right? They'll take the most expensive tip and put it as the middle button, you know, like on those interfaces to try to get you to tip more, which I'm like, you know, that's just going to irritate me, right? But I do think it is a big factor. I mean, people know what the price is. It's obvious, right? And you just get it and you leave, right? You don't have to worry about feeling, should I tip this person, you know, who just rung up my order? Did they do anything to justify a tip, right? You know, but those things are now very common. So I think that certainly will help us, because even an airport, if it says it's $10 for the salad, it's $10 for the salad. You get it. It's a good experience. It's good quality food. Even, you know, my experience, I don't know what you feel about airports, but even if I go to what is a good restaurant outside the airport, it usually sucks when I'm inside the airport.
Yeah. And I want to say for the audience, I am not pro underpaying people. And that's certainly not what Arnie's saying. But I do think that it's a mistake to ask the customer to make a judgment about what is a fair amount to pay a person for the transaction that just took place. I get it. You go to a restaurant, we have 80 years of established history that like you pay 20% if it was great, 18 if it was less, I don't know, maybe 22 if it was special. You know, we got 100 years or something of established social norms there. But like, hand me a cup of coffee, the cup of coffee costs $7, and now I'm asked to make a decision while looking right at the person. And it is a bad experience. And I feel like the vending machine side of this, I think people are going to opt for that. But I want to return to some of the technical challenges. I know that you guys have at times struggled with like intermittency of a reliable signal. This is something, again, everybody that's been to an airport has struggled with. You're trying to get that email out. It's written and it just won't send because I don't know, 10,000 people are sharing that same connection. What's that looked like for you guys? Because you and I were laughing earlier, but I got to think like the fraud level on sandwiches is low. Like this isn't a major vector for people that have stolen a credit card. Now they're going to load up on sandwiches inside an airport. How do you guys look at that? And how have you gone about solving it?
Yeah, so we our vending machine is a wholly contained box. I mean, obviously, we have to be able to communicate to it, right? To update inventory and things. But while it is running, you can disconnect it from the internet and it will continue to run. It knows its pricings. It knows its promotions. If we don't have an internet connection, we obviously can't get to the payment provider, right? And validate that you actually have $8 to pay for this available credit to pay for this salad, right? But we can check to make sure that you did swipe a valid credit card, right? We know it's a credit card that we can do internally. So when we are disconnected, we will queue everything up. We will queue up all of our payment processing. We will queue up all of the messages that have, you know, inventory updates and other things from the fridge that have to go out. And then once the internet connection comes back, everything flows through and we catch back up. So in general, we can operate quite a long time without requiring an internet connection. Say about 12 hours wouldn't be an issue at all. So, and as you said, you know, yes, maybe somebody runs a bad credit card for us, we lose $8, but the chances of that, you know, knowing that the internet is down, knowing that you could run a bad credit card at our one of our vending machines, having that ready, bad credit card handy and, you know, testing it out, we're not going to get a lot of hits on that. And it's just not that much money for somebody to take that kind of risk, right? So we generate a lot more money by having the vending machine be able to continue to operate without an internet connection.
Whereas like a gas pump is exactly the opposite. You know, they will not operate that thing if they can't process live transactions. And of course, as the price of gasoline goes up, for me, I live here in Montana. I don't know why this is the case, but a lot of transactions, I have a truck that has a very large gas tank. It's not a very large truck, but it has a very large gas tank. So my range is, anyway, it costs over $100 frequently to fill it up. A lot of gas pumps will stop at $100 now because I don't know why. It must be a fraud limiting. I have no idea why, but you know, I think their risk is quite high. It seems like for you guys to make good on your brand promise of fresh food, you need to continue putting things through that machine anyway, right? Like you don't want something to be down for 12 hours.
No, and I mean, there's the lost revenue, but at the same time, as you're pointing out, I mean, we have to do a pretty good job of predicting what food we can sell on that fridge, right? So if we lose 12 hours of sales, we may send too much food the next day and you're going to start getting food waste, right? So it's important for us to actually balance that out and make sure that the sales happen. Because if they don't, then you can actually end up, you know, it's a short shelf life item. Big shifts in that can cause problems.
So I have a core audience out there that right now is screaming into their headphones. Talk about IoT. Why are you spending so much time on the sandwiches and picking on airports? One thing I'm curious about. So, okay, I hear you loud and clear, guys. Let me dive into that a little bit. Is there any thought in the future? So this is the part of the show where we transition into what's next for you guys. Usually this is a relatively small topic. I think I'm extremely interested in what's next for you guys. And one thing I'd love for you to touch on, as you think about the future, you guys are road mapping and thinking about tomorrow's problems. What does life on the other side of sandwiches look like? I mean, is there any thought about assembling that? I mean, I know the sandwiches go in prepackaged. Is there any thought about like assembling within the machine, order a taco, order a hamburger, there's some customization to it, comes out? You know, is that anything that you guys have thought about longer term? Start to pick fights with some of the other vendors outside of Subway and the sandwich guys?
We take a look at it and we kind of vet it out every once in a while. Currently, those vending machines are not great as far as they tend to break down a lot. They cause significant problems with the Department of Health because, you know, they have to be cleaned and you can't have food lying around. So I think they have to come a long way before we could actually go there. Every surface on this, I mean, you have to get certified. Every surface on your vending machine has to be cleanable, right? And once you start putting fresh food inside of something, that means that it has to be sanitized daily, which is a big challenge, right? And the Department of Health would give you lots of red marks if you don't do that well, or the surfaces aren't easy to clean, or you can't consistently do it. So having something that is prepackaged where the food never touches the vending machine, you know, it's what they call the splash zone. There is no real splash zone, but they still check us for splash zone and we have to clean it, but no food ever touches it, right? So I just don't know how practical they will be based on all the regulatory bodies you have to get through and the challenges of keeping them operational. But it's something we do like, you know, we do play with the idea. It just never got there.
Right. You tell us what's next for you guys. So, I mean, it seems like you've really nailed this vertical. I'm sure you're going to continue to grow and innovate in this. What's next for Farmer's Fridge? What are some of the things you guys are excited about? What are some of the problems that in 24 and 25 you guys are, you know, really turning your eye towards trying to tackle that us as consumers? If I'm going through LAX in 2025 and I see one of your vending machines or your brand on something, what's the next thing that I might see your brand attached to and say, oh, wow, they did it?
So you're going to see us in a lot of retail locations. So we're starting to sell in Jewel's and Costco's and Target's. and Hy-Vee's. So you'll see us a lot more places. So you'll be able to buy us directly from those places. As far as the vending machine goes, I'm guessing, you know, like sometime, not this year, but in the future, we're going to do an overhaul and we'll like completely remodel the way that vending machine works. It'll be a much slicker experience as far as the vending machine itself. It'll be new hardware and things, but you know, that's obviously a very lengthy project. So I think we'll be going through that and kind of revamping it, taking what we have know from this old vending machine, right? And redesigning something that will work much, be a little faster, fewer mistakes, fewer moving parts, so we don't have to repair it as often. That is a big problem as you get to be a national chain. You got vending machines all over the country. Sending people out to repair them is big. So there'll be a lot of those things. As far as the tech itself goes, you know, what we do pretty well right now. So I think our tech stands up as far as, you know, we know exactly what is in every fridge. We know when everything expires. We know how to stock that fridge to maximize sales without losing opportunity. We know how to produce the right amount of food for that. And we have a lot of data that helps us do that and engage with our customers. We know how people work with those fridges. So we know quite a bit about our customers and how to engage with them and how to get people to come back. So I think you'll just see us more optimizing those things and rather than doing, you know, whole redesigns of everything. But like we just recently redid the way we do our promotions. So we can now promote individual fridges. We can do promotions on individual fridges. We can do it across verticals. We can say there's 25% off on these products from 3 to 6 o'clock. So we have all kinds of now options of how to engage with people that way. And we can do that exclusively either on mobile or we could do it on the fridge or do it across both. So, you know, those kinds of things, we've gotten pretty good at what we do in those areas. We'll set a pretty high bar for other people to come at us.
Yeah, great. You know, one of the things I was hoping to hear, and I'll speak now on behalf of all of the listeners that are currently in an airport, especially if they're flying in the morning, one of the huge choke points I don't understand, and we're waiting for entrepreneurs like you guys to dive into this. If you fly in an airport in America before noon, the odds that you will get a coffee without a 20-minute wait in line anywhere, it doesn't matter. Any airport, you will not get a coffee before noon without a 20-minute wait, sometimes more. The POS seems to always be the choke point here, but it isn't helping that like you got a bunch of medium speed humans doing the thing. I mean, it just seems so ripe for innovation. And I know that 40 years ago, we came out with the first version of like put a nickel in, cup drops, fill it with coffee. You know, great. As a proof of concept, great. Like coffee comes out, it's a C-minus experience, but at least it's coffee. I hope that at some point Farmer's Fridge can tackle this too, because we're counting on you guys. It's terrible right now. And that this is one of the, I mean, most people can, they're just looking for what you already deliver, a sandwich, some basic sustenance to survive the airport experience. But also if it's before noon, you know, a lot of people rush to get there, whatever, a cup of coffee. I think it's the wild, wild west of like, people don't want Starbucks. They don't want anything to do with Starbucks' food or Pete's for that matter, any of these guys. Please let the powers that be at Farmer's Fridge know that the people are ready for some kind of technology-driven coffee solution.
I'd 100% agree with you on that one. It's a terrible experience, and it must be, as this, what we talked about a little bit the pre-show, but it must be the airports that prevent Starbucks or Pete's Coffee from allowing people to pre-order and just go pick up their stuff. So you end up with those gargantuan lines, right? You know, like, and yeah, you might get a sandwich at Starbucks and, you know, we're picking on Starbucks, but I think their food is really bad. But if I were able to go to Starbucks in the airport and reserve my food and just pick it up, I might eat that sandwich anyway, just because it's fast, right? And we do have an experience where with our mobile system, you can reserve the food in the fridge. So you can guarantee by the time you get there, the item you want is available in the fridge and you can do touchless vending with it. You can just type in a code and it'll automatically vend. So we do cut down on the experience. I think, you know, coffee is a difficult one, but I do think beverages, particularly airports, it's just, yeah, you waiting 25 minutes at your Starbucks for one cup of coffee, just, you're like, can't you make this better? How can this be such a crappy experience? How can I not be able to get a cup of coffee faster than that? And I can't bring my coffee from outside. So you have no choice.
Right. They took all your liquids away from you 300 feet earlier, and now you can't get more of that particular liquid. It feels super ripe for a technology-driven solution. I think that this like kiosk vending machine driven solution makes sense to me. I got to think airports are interested because it's the parts of the airport that are not really being monetized. You know, it's against walls, it's in corners. You know, this isn't like the storefronts of which they have a finite amount. They're looking for, you know, this is why Starbucks gets these slots because they can pay the most for to have them. But, you know, it seems like you guys are, in a lot of cases, monetizing lesser monetized real estate. So Godspeed in your quest. We're rooting for you. Last question before we let you go. You've been in IoT for a while. You know, I'm a huge fan of the space. Our audience is as well. Who's doing good work out there that more people should know about? You guys are over there in Chicago with Tavala. It seems like there's a bit of a food tech scene happening over there. I don't know if that's an accident or what, but who's doing good work out there that you think more people should know about?
Yeah, I like Tavala. I think they do. Their product is good, you know, and they have that. They have the oven where you scan the card, you know, and it cooks your food. So I think their solution is pretty cool, and they don't really compete with us. We're pretty friendly with Tavala. Factor 75, I think we have purchased out, but I like their food. As far as if you want a quick solution, they'll probably hate me for saying this, but you know, like there are like what good TV dinners essentially, right? You know, you know, TV dinners are always terrible, but these actually taste pretty good. So you're like, oh, it's like literally the TV dinner, but you know, actually kind of tasty. So they do a pretty good job. As far as some tech products I like, right now I'm working with our data engineering team, so probably focusing on some of those things. We have a user product called Hex, which I like quite a bit. Hex is kind of a notebook tool, but you can write your queries, you can use Python, you can do all those other things. You can join a Python query to a SQL query using Hex. You can do visualizations of that data all in one tool. So it's really good for data engineers and data scientists. I like their tool a lot. I think it's a pretty cool tool. We use Dagster for orchestration. That has really been very helpful for us in the data engineering side. So I like those tools. I think they're both doing a great job. Yeah, that's I can probably think of some more, but that's what I got right now.
No, I love it. Hex and Dagster is your two callouts. Cool. All right. You heard it here first. Well, Arnie, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Ryan.
And thank you for listening. Join us next time as we meet with another executive to talk about things that went wrong on a journey that went right. Over the Air is brought to you by Very. To find out more about us, head over to verytechnology.com. And to ensure you never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever great podcasts are found. And as always, 5-star reviews are greatly appreciated.